The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
It's The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is a hilarious mensch and one of the big reasons I have a job in show business. He has just written and directed a new animated musical starring Adam Sandler called Leo.
Wait, where are you? This is a nightmare! Now I'm gonna be the kid who killed the lizard no matter what I do with my life. Whether I do drama or want to be a doctor, well, I'm never gonna be a doctor now. I could work at the DMV, hopefully the one next to Quiznos, because I don't want to go too far away from my parents.
Mother of Godzilla!
What was that? Well, who said that? The wall? Walls don't talk. Why would a wall say anything? Why do you keep pointing to it? I mean, they say if these walls could talk because they can't talk.
The trophy!
You said something! You just spoke! Mom!
No!
You talk! You're talking! I have to tell my mom or people will think I'm crazy! And I'll probably have to go to that school in Tampa for kids with issues, but I have to!
People can't know!
Why are your hands wet?
They're naturally moist.
Please welcome Robert Smigel. How lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you. Healthy, right? God
healthy,
bless you.
All healthy, exactly.
This is a very old friend of mine.
Very old. Very few people know how long we've known each other and how many things we have in common after all these years and how much I owe to you, which we'll get into a little bit later.
But good.
One of the things is that I took over for Dave, you know, here. And people may not remember that you were Conan O'Brien's original executive producer when he took over for...
Well, Warren was the executive producer. I don't want to step on those toes.
Okay. So you were head writer.
No.
So you were head writer, but
I was
really executive producer.
And for Conan, when he took over for Dave, one of the things that I did before Dave left is a week before he left the chair, I said, could I come talk to you about like the show before you while you're still doing it? Did you guys do that with him?
Conan and Dave didn't have that kind of a heart-to-heart. I think Conan was way too intimidated. You'd been in television for like 20 years when you got this gig, and Conan had never been in television. Conan was a complete newcomer. He'd met Dave on his show. Mm-hmm. And so that summer, we were working at NBC, and Dave had his last show, like 2 weeks before we were supposed to premiere. And I told Conan, well, maybe you should go down there, you know, and pay your respects. And
because you guys are in the same building?
Yeah, we're in 30 Rock, you know, and we were on so we're like three floors above where he was shooting in Studio 6A. And so I said, you ought to pay your respects. And he said, yeah, okay, no, it's a good idea. And I said, I'll come too, because I wanted to meet him. I mean, he's my hero, yeah. So then literally I had the weirdest brush with the strangest way you can meet a celebrity. Who's your hero? He basically finishes his last show on NBC. We're there. It's all a big hubbub. Tom Hanks is there. And
that's a big deal just to meet Hanks.
Him we'd worked with.
Okay. Yes. Hanks.
Yeah.
Hanks Schmanks.
Mr. Short-Term Memory, if you remember that sketch. Hanks. No, this was Letterman. And so he walks off, he gives his goodbye speech to NBC and General Electric. And it was a very controversial moment because he had left because he didn't get the Leno gig. And he walks off the stage out through the doorway of 6A and he says, hey, Conan, thanks for coming. Come on into the dressing room. And that's where I met him, like seconds after his last show. And I just am like babbling like, hi, I was a fan of yours ever since I saw you sub for Johnny and Mackenzie Phillips was the guest and you were just so funny and Ed had no idea what you were doing. And he was just like, wow. Big nerd.
And now you're a director. Now you're a big shot director.
I'm an animation director. I used to do animation on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, somebody remembers.
That's one of the things that you and I used to do together.
The Ambiguously Gay Duo.
I was Ace of Ace and Gary.
He was Ace of the Ambiguously Gay Duo. And Steve Carell was Gary.
Hold on to my belt buckle with your teeth, friend of friends.
But yes, I'm an animation director.
Yes.
Fancy. I directed it with Robert Marinetti and David Wachtenheim, who did all my cartoons at SNL. And we did it with Adam Sandler.
And it's called Leo.
It's called Leo.
And it's,
it's
heartwarming.
Leo?
It's heartwarming.
For the love of God. It's on Netflix.
What? Tell the good people what your movie's about.
The good people. My movie is about... Well, so Adam came to me with this idea. It's like, really? A musical about middle school, like fifth graders transitioning to middle school. And the anxieties they face. And he started working on a project that didn't include a talking lizard. That became my... I thought it would be really funny if there was a, excuse me, class pet who had just been cooped up in this terrarium for like 75 years in the same fifth grade classroom. Every year he pegs every kid. Okay, that's the always sick and should have stayed home kid and that kind of thing. And then one day he accidentally finds out or believes that he's going to die, that he's hit the age limit. And he wants...
The lizards live a long time, but he's 74.
Yeah, he's 74. And so he wants to, like, realize all his dreams, like eating a snail or catching a fly or seeing the Everglades. And so he decides to, you know, there's a substitute teacher who's reinstated kids taking home pets for the weekend. And he tries to escape, as you saw. And then he accidentally speaks. And what that scene leads to is this girl kind of pouring out her heart and sharing her anxieties with this lizard. And that kind of, that pat, and the lizard kind of enjoys that. And he, that happens over a couple of more kids. And then he starts to realize that that's his life dream. That's really what his purpose in life is. Isn't that, see? For me to poop on.
But I also like that it's a musical. That part, before I started watching it, I didn't know that it was a musical.
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
Well, I used to write.
I know.
I wrote a whole album for Triumph, Come Poop With Me.
Yes. Christmas Time for the Jews.
Christmas Time for the Jews on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a tunesmith. I just didn't know. And
there's
some of them are very sweet songs, too.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. There's one called When I Was 10 that... is about kids kind of counting down. It starts as a joke, like kids reminiscing about how simple life was. They're 11-year-olds, so it's like, they're like, oh, when I was 10, you know, I thought Big Macs were good for you, those kind of things. And but then it gets a little sentimental, like a kid remembers that her grandpa and her gerbils were still alive when she was 5, you know, and... then the next kid says, I didn't care when people died. A haircut used to make me cry way more. And it's funny, but it's also poignant because, you know, and that came from my son actually learning that my dad died like 5 years ago. It was very, like my dad had a wonderful long life and I was almost a relief because he had a painful last few years. But what really made me cry was when I heard my kid crying, Roey, my son Roey, who's in the movie, by the way.
Both of your boys are in the movie, aren't they?
Both of my boys are in the movie.
Yeah, Ethan and Roey.
Ethan and Roey are both in the movie.
Yeah, two of your boys.
It's not Nepo Baby thing, I promise you. It's not one of those deals. They did the scratch track because they said, if you have family members, we can save money. And then Adam was like, I was like, okay, well, keep them in the movie.
Wow.
But they don't want to be actors. They have much more realistic goals.
They don't. What do they want to be?
They want to be NBA stars.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have something to fall back
on.
It's good to have a fallback position.
Good fathering.
Are they good? Are they good? Can they do it?
They are good. Roey spends a little too much time on trick shots. I think we have a clip, actually.
Jim, do we have a shot?
Do we have Roey?
Oh my God!
Wow! He just got scouted. What,
yes, yes. Dude Perfect, if you know YouTube, that's where he's going.
No, as I said before, we've known each other a long time. And I would not be in this chair without you, because you were the first person to ever tried to get me a network.
You tried
to get Lauren to hire me.
I had a comedy crush on you. That's what I call it.
I was a young guy. I was like 29 or something like that.
Yeah, so I was a co-producer at Saturday Night Live after a few years there. And every summer, we would go with Lauren to scout Chicago talent. And one year, we were there at Second City. And the guy we kept hearing about was this guy, Steve Carell. We kept hearing Steve Carell is amazing. You got to see him. So we get to the show, and we hear Steve Carell is not on the show tonight. Unfortunately, he got a chicken commercial.
He got a Brown's Chicken commercial.
It was Brown's Chicken.
It's a local chain.
Local chain in the Chicagoland area.
And we were all jealous.
That's what I heard, yes.
Everybody was like, he got a Brown's Chicken commercial. Because you do not make a lot of money as an improv comedian.
No, and I'm sure
even in Second City, which is a really great theater, you could barely make rent, and that could pay your rent for months. It was like, he got the Brown's Chicken commercial.
I know.
But then he wasn't there when you guys from SNL showed up.
He wasn't there, and it wasn't like Lauren was going to, nuts, I'll come back tomorrow. No, that's not how Lauren works. Lauren's pretty cool, and he's like, so who's on the... And so we watched the show, and there was an understudy, and he was pretty good in the regular show, but then there was an improv set, and suddenly the understudy's making all these incredibly smart, dry jokes, probably threw in a Lord of the Rings reference, I'm guessing. And after the show, Lauren was like, who'd everybody like? And I was like, I'm sorry, I like the understudy. I love the understudy. And that man was right here.
You were such a towering figure of such influence at SNL that I didn't get hired.
No, you didn't get hired. Lauren was like, and what did you like? What did you like? It was just onward.
But many years later, you hired me for Carvey.
I hired you for the Dana Carvey Show.
Which was my first network gig, and that really kind of landed me on the scene. And
yes.
So I'm very grateful to you.
I am grateful to have known you and to have been able to do that. And look at us. I wouldn't be here if you weren't there.
And
so I kind of owe you.
Well... And I think both of us.
Oh, Brown's Chicken.
That's exactly. Which is
a
why.
Great deal.
Which is why we flew in some Brown's Chicken.
Yeah, I know you.
From Chicago.
I know he drinks a lot on the show with guests, but I'm a Jew and I like to eat.
There you go.
So here we go.
So Leo is available on Netflix. The man is Robert Smigel. And before we go, I will give the last word to the man who made it all possible, the talented chicken salesman, Steve Carell. We'll be right back.
Big news from Brown's Chicken. While we've always cooked our chicken in cholesterol-free cottonseed oil, we now have cholesterol-free batter, too. So our chicken is cooked completely cholesterol-free. And it tastes just as great as always. We figured a lot of people would like our new healthier way of cooking, but quite frankly, the response has been better than we'd anticipated. Brown's Chicken, it tastes better, and it's better for you.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount+.